one opportunity for us to raise our voices in thanksgiving to our Heavenly Father in song. And here to lead that for us is Brother Owen Kindig. And we'll turn the meeting over to Brother Owen. Before we do that, Brother Owen has provided, and we have passed out, they should be around the table, but if you do not have a song sheet that says, "The Lord is my shepherd," on it, raise your hand and we'll get a song sheet to you. This will be the closing song. This will be our closing hymn for the evening. Brother Owen.
Thanks, Brother Heidelbach. And brethren, we're happy to be with you. It's a real blessing. Vesper, in my mind, is meditation. Meditation with the Lord. And that's what we want to do tonight. We didn't bring a lot of visuals because we didn't want to distract from a heart-to-heart meditation with each other and with the Lord. The subject of our meditation tonight is going to be sheep. When God created the world, He seems to have designed many of the creatures specifically to illustrate features of His character and His plan. He created doves to illustrate the innocence and purity and the gentle peaceableness that accompanies His spirit. In the story of the flood, there was an innocent dove bringing an olive branch, which symbolized how the Holy Spirit and the search for peace will follow the tumult of the time of trouble. He created the serpent to symbolize the venomous, crafty nature of Satan. And He promised that though Satan can strike terror into the hearts of men now, in due time, Satan will be trampled underfoot by the promised seed of the woman. And that's what Paul said, didn't he? Satan will be destroyed under your feet, speaking to the saints, under your feet shortly. Tonight we would like to focus on just these illustrative creatures without doubt, more important one, and that is the sheep. God created horses, sheep, and God created horses, sheep, and cows to be ruminants. They eat grass. Each of the three ruminants are domestic animals, and each seems to illustrate an aspect of human nature. God created horses to symbolize the intellectual side of man. His ideas which carry us in our enterprises. The human mind and its ideas is what we hitch our chariots to. Ideas and intellectual teachings, doctrines, cause us to erect fences to keep the other ideas out. Horses, with their speed, capacity for war, illustrate the intellectual and prideful side of man. God made man upright, but He sought out many inventions. And so in Revelation we see illustrated the progressive deterioration of the ideas that men have developed in their worship of God. By the end of the age, the religious ideas that prevail in the world have become positively putrid. Sheep seem to symbolize another side of man. Not so much his head, but his heart. Not so much his free moral agency, but his need to be grouped together under God's care. Not so much his power, but his weakness. Not so much his independence, but his ability to provide useful service to others. When God designed a creature that would best illustrate the qualities of his Son, and the good qualities that all who attain eternal life must possess, he created the creature which we know as a lamb. No one breeds a horse for slaughter. They are bred for show, for speed, for war, and for work. But a lamb is bred for one purpose only, to be killed. He is too young to give his wool, his meat, and his fleece. That is, his skin with his wool are the only valuable things that he has to offer. So it is with God's Son. He was a lamb, intended to be slain from the foundation of the world. His flesh was meant for the nourishment of the life of the world, and his fleece was meant to be a propitiatory covering. Sheep are very prominent in the scriptures, as you well know. If we want to understand the heart of God, we would learn what it is to be like his sheep. The first man is described by Jesus as a sheep that went astray. When Adam sinned, God made him a coat of skins. When the third man, Abel, tried to find something he could do to show his respect to God, he deduced that the death of a lamb would be appropriate. God respected his offering. It was a death of a sheep. Abraham's son, Isaac, was referred to as a lamb. His sacrifice was proven to be acceptable by the sacrifice of a ram. Remember, they found a ram in the thicket. And a ram is used typically to represent this is an acceptable sacrifice. We'd like to have a choral group sing to us now, present to us the hymn 90 and 9. We'd like to consider some of the characteristics of sheep. Our son raises sheep, and so we see a lot of these day by day as we watch the sheep activity. But when we're reading these, think about brethren as sheep. And think about yourself as a sheep and how some of these lessons might be able to apply to us. It's interesting that sheep eat about 4 to 7 times a day, which takes about 9 to 11 hours, and consumes about 9 to 11 hours, and then they ruminate. They ruminate for 8 or 10 hours a day, 8 to 10 hours a day. And you understand what I mean by rumination? Their stomach is masticating this food, see? So they spend a lot of time eating and masticating. But compared to a goat, a goat eats normally about 6 to 9 hours a day, but they spend very few minutes ruminating their food. But think about that now in a spiritual sense. the sheep will lick their newborn. And the reason they do that is because they want to remember the odor. And that's how they know. That's why you can graze mixed flocks of sheep. And they will always come to the correct mother, because she knows them by their odor. Sorry, I have trouble reading my notes. It's interesting about the sheep's maternal behavior. They will, at a certain time in the development of the young sheep, they will just turn their back on them. They will butt them and get them out of the way. In other words, what they're really saying is, okay, you're on your own now, you know. Don't bother me anymore. And I think it's a good principle, you know. What I'm saying is, apply this in your mind to brethren and the truth. Sheep have a very gregarious behavior. And it's interesting that they will, if they have fences around them, then they're, let me read it. I wrote my notes too small. Let's go to another point. The young rams in a flock, they will fight each other. They will buck each other, you know. And they will charge each other. They'll back off and charge each other. Ever seen that happen in an ecclesia? The packers, the ones who buy the sheep and sell the sheep, they capitalize on this gregarian behavior. And what they will do, they will take an old goat, and they'll take an old goat, or they may take usually it's an old goat. They call him a Judas. And what they do, they put him in the flock. And this old goat, this Judas, will lead a group of sheep off. You know? And they will not only do that once, they can do that 5 or 6 times a day. Thank you. They can do that 5 or 6 times a day. They will lead groups of sheep off. What does that remind you? They seem to, the sheep, even though they're gregarious, they seem to be willing to follow this Judas, you know, blindly follow this Judas and go where he wants them to go. They usually seek shelter under trees or under building barns, you know, whatever. But one thing that they do when they're bothered by flies or insects, they will gather together. They will gather together so they can shed off the flies or the insects. But another thing that they do, which is interesting to me, is in especially in the mountains, when they have real cold storms, snowstorms, ice storms, and so on, they will gather together. They will just bundle together. And what happens is the snow and the water covers them, and it freezes. And when it freezes, it's a protection from the inclemency of the weather then. But they do that, they save themselves from the cold and the freezing by bundling by their own temperature, their own heat, and helping each other that way. Beautiful illustration, isn't it? The sheep also, and if you watch sheep, you can pick out these characteristics. They have priorities in their social dominance, and they have a tendency for within that gathering, they have a tendency to cluster. You know, they're attracted to certain ones. And this is the way they manage to relate to their environment and their fellow sheep. They water. They will drink 1 to 3 gallon of water a day, a sheep will. And, of course, we relate water to truth, right? They know how to adapt themselves to a fenced-in arrangement as well as a non-fenced arrangement. They know how to handle themselves in either condition and protect themselves. I look at the fences as doctrines. So I get a lesson out of that. It's interesting, though, that you can overfeed a field with sheep. And if you do that, if you let them pasture too many days in one area or one field, their own droppings have parasites, and they will become ill. And to me, that's like someone who rides a hobby horse and they study only one thing. And they become spiritually ill. We'd like to have some of the sisters now sing to us the hymn, I Would Be True. And the brethren, sorry. Now turn to Psalm 23. The Lord is our shepherd. And the psalmist here states, opens the psalm with, "The Lord is my shepherd." Let's compare that with John, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 18, and our Lord's description of a shepherd. And we often think of course, as the elders of the flock are really shepherds in one sense of the word, aren't they? He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man entereth in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I think those are vital lessons for the leadership, especially. The responsibilities that the leadership have toward the sheep. Jesus set the example for us as leaders, and he gave his life for his sheep. I think it's beautiful wisdom for those who are in the position of leadership in the flock. The leader of the flock should be willing to lay down his life for his sheep. And not just in major things, but day by day. Unknown. Even if it's unknown to others, it makes no difference, does it? Our example, our shepherd, made himself of no reputation. But his concern, his life, was for his sheep and for the life of the world. I think it's a beautiful, wonderful lesson to us. We'd like now to turn to the 23rd Psalm and consider the lessons that the psalmist has for us there. He begins by stating, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The idea of want here is not in the sense of wanting something or desiring something, but it's a realization that God will supply all of our needs according to his riches by Christ Jesus. And Paul tells us that in Philippians 4:19. He goes on to say, He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. The thought here is of green pastures is that green pasture has water in it. And so as it's a combination of food and water. And isn't that the way the Lord leads us? The waters of truth and the sustenance, the bread of life. And so as we desire this food, as we masticate it, as we ruminate it, we gradually are supplied and nourished and strengthened. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. The word still here doesn't mean stagnant waters. Sheep will not drink stagnant water. They want water moving. They don't like rapid flowing water. They like moving, restful water. And that's what the root word here still means. It means quiet and restful. Now, I don't know about you, but when I went to relax, when I went to meditate, I go to a place where the water is running smoothly, where it's cool. It's a cool breeze, where it's quiet, where I can meditate. And those are the kind of places I meditate in. It's like the poet states it, lead me beside the still waters, the moving waters, the light evening breeze, as it moves softly through the trees. Offers peace and rest and tranquility to the soul, and our mind and heart turn to Him, the one who leads us to our goal. We think of our Master and the path that He trod as He walked alone in serving His God. His needed peace came from His Father alone. And he longed to hear that, "Well done, my faithful son." Those are the still waters, symbolically, that our life leads us to and through. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Not our name's sake, for His name's sake. And sometimes for His name's sake isn't so easy, is it? But through that, He restores our soul. One of the things that sheep dislike, but they're needed, and that's the sheepdogs. The sheepdogs are needed. And have you ever watched dogs work sheep? They're constantly working the sheep. They're barking and telling the sheep, you know, do this and do that. And it's really interesting. In my mind, I liken the sheepdogs to trials. It's the way the Lord sort of keeps you on the narrow way, right? He gives you these little dogs to nip at your heels, you know. and they're good for you. Yeah, walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. Is that right? We should have no fear of any evil. But we have the holy power of God working on our behalf. You remember how it was when David came to Goliath? What did he say? I come to you in the name of the God of Israel. That should give us courage. That should give us strength and fearlessness. (Clears throat) Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The shepherd carried a rod, a small rod, about, you know, the length of an arm. And that rod was used for correction and protection. If he was approached by an animal, a wild animal, unfriendly animal, he could use his rod. And he knew how to use that rod to protect himself. When you have a rod, you don't use a rod by hitting, because you know it can get knocked out of your hands, or if you're trying to hit a person, they could take it out of your hands. You know? We were taught to use a rod, a billy club, or a rod in the military, and you use it on your arm. You hold it in your hand, you use it on your arm. So you can poke with it, or you can hit with it, you know. And that's the way the shepherds, I think, used it. They could fight, defend against wild animals that way. Now the shepherd also had a staff. He said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The staff had a crook on it, so that if a sheep wandered off to a rather inaccessible place, the shepherd could bring them back with the staff. And isn't that the way the Lord does? You know, he doesn't stop you, he just lets you go until you realize you're in danger, right? And then he gently uses that staff to correct your position. It's wonderful, the love and the mercy and the patience that God has over us. In the 12th chapter of Hebrews, Paul deals with this in the 4th through the 8th verses. He states, "Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the "And ye have forgotten which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastening, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." So we learn as we walk the narrow way, we learn to appreciate the chastenings of the Lord, the disciplining of the Lord is what it is. We learn to appreciate that, don't we? And we learn to realize what it means to us, the importance of it to us. And the Lord does it because he loves us, you know. And sometimes because he has to correct us. So we're thankful for those things. As the psalmist states, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Yes, the table of present truth is our life, isn't it? This is a wonderful, wonderful message that we have. It's our life. And we should be willing to give our lives for that truth. "Thou anointest my head with oil, the oil of God's Spirit, and my cup runneth over." Yes, he fills our cup with just the specific experiences which we need, not which someone else needs, but which we need, and it's precisely what we need. And then he states, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Yes, we have that privilege. Just think what it will be Just think when it will be when we can gather together beyond the veil. When we can be victorious. When our walk in this life is over. It will be wonderful, won't it? We can't grasp it. I don't think we can really grasp what it will be to be glorified with Christ, our chief shepherd, the exemplar shepherd to us. We'd like to close with a special hymn. This hymn is a Japanese hymn. We had to supply words to it because we couldn't speak Japanese. But anyway, the thoughts here expressed, I think, coincide with the thoughts of our Lord being our shepherd. It's a wonderful, wonderful arrangement that we have of being sheep together following the great shepherd, the exemplar, Christ Jesus our Lord. The title of this hymn is "The Lord is My Shepherd." And we suggest that you also pay attention to the words as you're singing the hymn.
Thank you, Brother Owen. Thank you for taking us to that place of meditation. And as you mentioned, we are sheep and the Lord is our shepherd. We'll close with the sheet that was passed out, this special hymn provided to us by Brother Owen.
Thank you.
Before we ask Brother Olin to close, I just want to remind the brethren that we will reconvene here tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Thank you, Brother Olin.
Our God and Father in heaven, we hallow thy name, and we thank thee that moment by moment thou art with us. Thou art overruling our life in order that it might bring us closer to thee. We thank thee for our shepherd, Christ Jesus, who was our exemplar and who laid his life down for us. And we pray that as we strive to walk in his footsteps, we might be faithful, that we might be courageous and self-sacrificing, and determined to do thy will in thy way. We pray thy blessing upon us now as we depart. We thank thee for the many blessings this day that we have had together in the fellowship of kindred minds. And we pray, Father, that thou wouldst watch over us and our rest throughout the night, and if it be thy will, may we on the morrow be rejoined and be able to help and strengthen each other in this faith that thou hast given us, the faith that thou hast delivered to the saints, and the faith that by which we can make our calling and our election sure. We thank thee for the exemplars of our faith in the ancient fathers, and we pray that we may walk as they walked and as our master walked. We seek forgiveness of all of our shortcomings, thy overruling of anything said or done amiss, and we commit all unto thee. In Jesus' name, amen.